or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, 3:15 p.m., February the 18th, 2017. Joey McGee is the speaker of the afternoon teaching on Say What You Want, Not Say What You See.
Anyway, but this is a message called Say What You Want, Not Say What You See. Our problem is we've been saying what we see. You know, the facts can be a certain way, but the truth is what God's Word says. And let me pray. Lord, we just come before your throne. And Lord, I just pray that I commit this to you. You said you'll establish my thoughts. Lord, I just thank you for each of these ladies, for what you're doing in all of our lives. Father, all of us have perverted speech, every one of us. Lord, we ask you to correct our words to say only what you say. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this revelation will not just be something that comes from our head, but God, it'll be in our hearts. God, cause us to see that words are seeds just like your word is a seed. And Lord, that we're spiritual gardens, and what we plant is what comes up. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bind Satan, every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We cover us with the blood of Jesus. We loose the ministering angels into this place.
Yes.
Lord, we loose holy angels into this place to stick the word in our heart in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison, and it sets on fire the course of our lives. Not only the course of our lives, but the course of our children's lives.
Yes.
You know, my youngest son, I had shared earlier, he lied his whole life. But when he was 2 years old, in my ignorance, I didn't know the power of words. And so I would say, that kid, the biggest liar I've ever seen. And what I did was curse him with my words. I planted a lying spirit in him by my words. And so the word of God is seed and words are seed. And so God wants us to speak, not what we see, but what we say. He wants, you know, in Jeremiah 1, it says we're to pull down, uproot, and pluck out. And then it says we're to plant and rebuild. And we're all spiritual gardens. Our children are a spiritual garden. Our hearts are a spiritual garden. Our children are, their hearts are spiritual gardens. Our mates, we're all spiritual gardens. Our heart is a spiritual garden. And what we do is we plant words of perversion, perverted words in our lives and in the lives of our children, the lives of our mates. We plant and we're getting what we plant. You know, it would be pretty stupid for a farmer who wanted tomatoes to plant corn seeds. Right. And what we do, we are planting constantly in our lives and the lives of our children. And I believe this is the thing that I've been missing. And in some areas about my own life of saying what I see in, or what I don't see instead of what God's Word says. And the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives even to death. And so we have to overcome through the words that we speak. And we are overcome by the wrong words that we speak. This is what I've been missing. It's what we've all been missing. We wonder why our life didn't change, our kids don't change, our mates don't change, our situation don't change. It's because we're constantly cursing ourselves and others by speaking words of death. And every one of us does this. I do it. I'm constantly, I'm constantly saying, I can't read this or I can't do that. I just need to shut up. But you see, pride makes you want to keep explaining why you can't do something. It's all pride. It's all idolatry. And words are the most powerful, potent human force on the face of the earth. Words of blessing have the ability to bring healing, to bring health, to bring prosperity, to bring joy, to bring gladness to our heart. And conversely, words of death, which is any word that contradicts the word of God, what that does, it can bring death, it can bring sickness, disease, poverty, depression, whatever. words are spiritual forces. Whether you speak positive or negative, you either speak in a positive force or a negative force against your life and the lives of others. And so we need to begin to pull down, uproot, and plant and rebuild. And you plant and rebuild by speaking with the Word of God. You know, the fact may be a person's dying of cancer, or the fact may be your situation looks bad, that you can't pay your bills, this or that happening. That's the fact. But the truth is what God's Word says. The Bible says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And it says, the angels, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who watches over God's Word to perform it. And so if you don't speak God's Word, the devil takes those words and he perverts it and he steals the true Word of God out of our heart, and he plants these things in our lives, in the lives of our children and in the people that we love. The Bible says that God spoke the world into existence in 6 days, and then it says he rested on the seventh. Well, we can speak things into existence by our very words. Words are powerful spiritual forces. Webster defines power as the ability to do, act, or produce. Power is defined as strength, energy, vigor. And so we could say that words give us the ability to do, to act, produce energy and vigor with our words. And so we need a power to force an action, either positive or negative. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called, and you make the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And of course, whether you realize it or not, wherever you are, there are angels and demons that you can't even see, and they're standing there waiting for you to speak a word. Is it going to be the Word of God, where Jesus can be the high priest of your confession, or is it going to be the devil who's going to take those words and corrupt a person's heart? And so the Bible says that the angels are ministering fire, and they are ministering spirits sent out to help and to care for those who are to receive his salvation. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering." And what we do is waver. Jesus said, "You have what you say if you don't doubt in your heart." Well, we speak negative words because we really believe it in our heart. The Bible says that our words come out of our heart, out of our spiritual garden. Your thought life, the things that you think, come out of your spiritual garden. The lust that's down in your heart already is the thing that's tempting you to get to sin. And so God tells us to hold fast to our confession, but we waver, we give up, quit, we continually confess, and I'm continually breaking things that I'm speaking. In fact, this cold was from speaking evil against some of the hateful people out there that are trying to cause trouble in this country. Just getting angry. The other day I got an email where it says that God laughs because he sees the heathen rage, and he laughs because he sees their day coming. And I don't know if I share this or not, but it doesn't matter. I'll share it again. And this lady said she asked God what he wanted to do, and the Lord said, "I want you to forgive, and I want you to start laughing with God, with me." Because God's laughing at all this, and so we need to laugh at it and not let it make us mad and get us upset, which that's, I was being severely disciplined. You know, your breath has to do with, you either use the breath of the Almighty or you use the breath of Leviathan speaking through you, one of the two. Just let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. I can tell you the scripture that says, Jesus said, "You will have what you say if you don't doubt it in your heart." Well, 8 years ago when I started struggling with some of the things that I'm struggling with my eyes, my faith level was 90%, or 10% I believe Jesus could do it, nobody else could, and 90% I had unbelief. I can say that after God is whipping a bunch of stuff out of me, my faith level now is now I believe 90%, and 10% there are still a little doubt there. And I know that when I can truly believe that in my heart, healing will come. But it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, we want instant deliverance. We want it to happen right then. Well, let me tell you, it takes a lifetime to get the junk out of us. We've got so much stuff stored down there in our heart. You know what's stored by what comes out of your mouth. You know what's stored down there by what you're thinking. And so we usually speak what we think instead of pondering before we speak. And so God says that in many words, transgression is unavoidable. And so we can be constructive or destructive with our mouth. We can heal or make people sick with our mouth. You can, and I say this for those of you who have little children, don't speak negative words over them. I mean, I so regret telling my son that he was a big liar. I should have said, son, you lied, you're going to be disciplined, but you are not going to be a liar. See, that's a positive way to correct instead of saying that kid is the biggest liar. I mean, I wish I could go back and change that. I've asked God to forgive me. I asked Todd to forgive me. And this little bitty kid, he hears this and he says, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm this or that. But this big person says I am, so I must be am, and so I must be that way. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the child receives that lie, and that becomes a stronghold in his life. You know, in the parable of the sower, it talks about the sower goes out to sow, and he sows the word of God as seed. He sows some seed fell beside the road, and it says, and the birds came and ate the seed. And then later on in the, further on in that chapter, the disciples said, well, Lord, explain this to us. And he said, well, the birds of the air is Satan comes to steal the seed. The next soil is, it says the seed is sown among thorns. And then it explains that. The worries, cares, pleasures, desire for other things chirps out the word. And then the third soil, the seed falls on hard ground. And it springs up for a season, but the minute the sun or circumstances of life hit it, it withers away and it falls away. But then it talks about the good soil is produces fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And so it tells us in Hosea to break up the fallow ground and sow with a view to righteousness, and in accordance with kindness. And so we've been sowing the wrong thing in our kids. We've been sowing the wrong thing in our mates, in our circumstances, in our own life. We've been sowing the wrong thing, and we've been getting a crop of stuff. And so we're going to have to pull down, uproot, and build and replant by speaking the word of God. And I really believe it's the key to why we haven't had our prayers answered. It's our words. That's why I'm today not completely healed, but I can say that thank God I can be better today than I could. Since I quit the eye drops, it's even better. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And I thank God for a praying church, because when I started studying this morning, I had difficulty reading, and I started texting the people. We have a list of men and a list of women. I began to send out group texts, and my phone started going ding, 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 ding. They were all telling me they're praying. It was an immediate difference. Thank God that prayer works. And plus, it's making us, you know, it's real humbling for me to have to ask people to pray, because I'm thinking, oh, then, you know, no, there she is again. It's just pride. That's all it is. And I believe that pride is a big root to our problems. The Bible says that Moses was 120 years old, and his eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated. He had strength. Proverbs 10:14 says, but with the mouth, the foolish man, in the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. Words can build up, or they can tear down. Proverbs 11:9 says, with his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. The Bible says my people perish for the lack of knowledge. That we're perishing because we really don't know the word of God. God has a desire for us to know the word so much that we know the voice that's coming against us. Is it God or is it the devil? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. But the voice of the stranger is the voice of another. It's any word that contradicts the word of God. Words can hate or love. The Bible says love is patient, so hate is impatient. Love is kind, so hate is unkind. Love is not jealous, so hate is jealous. Love does not seek its own way, so hate seeks its own way. Love does not act unbecomingly, hate acts unbecomingly. Love does not rejoice in a wrong suffer. Hate rejoices in a wrong suffered. Love forgives, hate is unforgiving. And the Bible says that in faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. The Bible says we fulfill God's covenant through covering people with love. You know, when you speak a blessing, you're really giving a gift to somebody. You're really planting things in their garden. And you know, you don't see the seed come up all at one time, do you? It's always what you sow is more later, and you get the same thing. And it's the same with evil, with the negative that we plant. Words can heal or make a person sick. Proverbs 16 verse 24 says, kind words are like honey, enjoyable and healthful. Proverbs 12, 18 says, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In fact, God speaks to the disciples in, I think it's Isaiah 54 or something like that. I'm not sure the exact verse, but it says, I'll give you the tongue of a disciple that you might sustain the weary one with a word. And morning by morning, I'm going to wake up your ear to listen as a disciple, and you will not be disobedient, nor will you turn back. Disciples are people that discipline themselves. It means disciplined one. And honestly, salvation is only for disciples. Now that may be hard for you to believe, but if a person is as submitted as they know how to be, I think God makes allowance for that, because none of us are submitted as we know how to be. I mean, we can be submitted as we know how to be, but there's so much we don't even see. So, to be obedient to what you know. Proverbs 15:4 says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. How many of you have had your spirit crushed because your mother and daddy spoke vicious, mean, vindictive, sarcastic, hateful words? I remember at one meeting, we were confessing the things that had been said over people, and one little girl in the front row said things that her mother said, I wish you were dead. I wish you'd never been born. Why don't you go kill yourself? Can you imagine those kind of words that is spoken over a child? You know, you can take a little bitty child, and I love to do this when I see a little bitty kid, and I'll say, you are so dependable. You are so obedient. You just love the Lord. You just honor your mother and father and speak those words over them, and that's what we need to do. If you've got little children, apologize to them, or even big children, apologize to them for your words. And explain to them you want to start planting good things in their life, because what you plant, if you speak the word of God, it will not return void.
Hallelujah.
That's a promise.
Right.
Words can bind or loose. The scripture says whatever we bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we shall loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. Blessing is kind of like a eulogy that we speak at a funeral. You know, speak good words over a person, and maybe when they were alive you never spoke one good word of them. But when they're dead, all of a sudden they're just an exalted character, right? Blessings come from God. It's kind of like, blessings kind of means like a man that gets down on his knee and he proposes to a woman. He's really giving her a gift. It needs to kneel. It needs to give a gift. And God told the children of Israel to speak a blessing on children of Israel, but then may the Lord bless you and keep you, may he make his face shine upon you, may he give you peace. Blessings come from God. In Numbers 6, verse 22, this is when God commanded Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the children of Israel. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Numbers 22, verse 6, King Balak, who was a heathen king, knew about blessings. And he knew the children of Israel were too strong for him, so he goes to Balaam and asks Balaam to
curse the children of Israel, because he said, I know what you curse will be cursed, and what you bless will be blessed. And of course, you know the story. God wouldn't let him do that. But what Balaam ended up doing was giving King Balak another way to get the children of Israel cursed, to get God mad at him. So he caused these heathen women to intercourse with the children of Israel, and then that made God angry at them. And then they were cursed. And it's kind of like you can't be cursed unless there's a cause. The scripture says in Proverbs 26:2 that a curse without a cause cannot last. So if you're being cursed, you need to find out why you're under the curse. Because demons carry out curses and holy angels carry out blessings. You know, when we curse people, what we're doing, if you bless people, the power of God is extended to that person to carry out what you bless. If you curse that person, the demons are attached to that person to carry out what you curse. It's like when we judge people, we put them in a prison. And, you know, my son's whole life I judged him. And all I can do is ask God to ask him to forgive me. You know, just in my ignorance, because I was perishing and causing him to perish because of my lack of knowledge of God's Word. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, do good to those who do good, to do evil to you, that you might be children of your Father. And so when we ask a blessing, we get a blessing. Because if you bless, your blessing's going to come back on you. If you curse, curses are going to come to you. You know, when Elijah, when he basically said, you know, God, I'm just paraphrasing, I'm tired of these people, there's only me. And basically God told him there were so many thousands more that didn't worship, didn't bow their knee to Baal. And because he cursed God's children, God basically told him to wrap up his ministry and appoint his successor. Same with Moses. When he got mad, struck the rock, he didn't enter the promised land. You know, that is sobering. It's amazing the mercy God had upon us. Because my mouth has been my worst undoing. I can remember a time in my life, if I went out to lunch with somebody, I spoke so many negative words that I came away feeling so condemned by my own words. So we have a choice. You know, when Jesus told the disciples, and they weren't even the salt of the earth, he said, you disciples are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your fathers in heaven. They weren't the light of the world or salt of the earth, but he spoke that on them. Same with Peter. He said, Peter, you're my rock. Peter was one of these people like I've been, put your foot in your mouth all the time kind of people. He wasn't a rock when Jesus said that. And so if we want to see a change in our life, in the lives of our children, we've got to change this rudder. With our mouth, we prophesy over our own life and over our children and over the people that we love. We prophesy what's going to happen. And so we better start building and replanting, right? And tearing down and uprooting. I've got a lot to tear down and uproot. I will say this. I really failed with my youngest son. I always spoke blessings on my oldest son, and he's my pastor now. And he's always been a godly man. I mean, not perfect, but he's always been a godly son, an obedient son. And even now, he might be so aggravated at me, but I'll tell you, he never shows disrespect. He always shows love and kindness to me. He's very patient with me. And when he's very patient, I mean, you know, your heart just goes out when you have a son that's trying to do right with all their heart. But I spoke negative over my youngest son, and I can honestly say I've never spoke negative over my grandchildren. Even if I heard them say something negative about themselves, I corrected it. Don't you ever let me say that again. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Spoke the word of God to them even when they were little bitty. I remember every year I would go visit them up in Maine. They lived in Maine, and so I'd take them on picnics and stuff. And my little youngest granddaughter, she said, Grandmother, I need you to tie my shoes. And so I said, oh, Holly, you can do it. She said, no, Grandmother, I can't. I said, you can. She said, oh, I know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one day, Kylie and I, my granddaughter that just lost her husband. We were walking on the beach in Maine, and I said, "You see, Kylie, God's thoughts towards you are more than the sand of the sea."
That's right.
I totally forgot that. Next year, I was walking on the beach. She said, "Grandmother, God's thoughts towards you are more than the sand of the sea."
Mm-hmm.
And when she was just about 2 or 3 years old, my bedroom was downstairs, and it was real dark because it was backed up against the wall when you have a part of your house underground. And so went in the bathroom, and she said, "Oh, Grandmother, it's dark in here." And I said, "Kylie, don't you know the angel of the Lord guards and rescues you?" And so the next morning we went back down in there, and she said, "Grandmother, don't be afraid. The angel of the Lord guards and rescues you." And the Bible tells you that when you walk with your children, speak. In fact, I spoke so many policy things over Kylie one day. She said, "Grandmother," she said, "Mother, Mommy, shut the door. I want to throw a fit, and I don't want Grandmother to see it." And the last few years, she's really been behind the door with me because, you know, you tell somebody, you speak positive all the time, they don't want to lower their standing. They don't want you thinking less of them than you've been saying. But anyway, I got my Kylie back. Hallelujah. Sorry that it came this way. And so I need to speak what I want to see, not what I see. I need to say that. We can't go by what we see. God wants us to speak in faith because without faith it's impossible to please God. Got ahead of myself here. Blessings are self-fulfilling. Curses are also self-fulfilling. And both the seeds we plant, whatever we plant will grow. If you speak the word of God, it's going to grow. And whatever you speak is what you're going to get. So if I want to say positive things, Jesus said, I have what I say if I don't doubt in my heart. So when I heard that scripture, I had 80% doubt in my heart. And so I've had to work on why I don't believe. Lord, show me where this came in. And it's been a process. And more than one thing God showed me. And so if you... You'll have what you say if you believe in your heart. And so if we're believing negative, that's what's going to come out of our mouth because what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. And what's in our heart comes up into our thought life. So if we want pure thoughts, we're going to have to get a pure heart. The Bible says you cannot tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison, and it sets on fire the course of your life. The course of the lives of our children. And I can't change the tongue. I can't tame it. But I can keep getting my heart pure and pure and pure, and my words will be pure and pure and pure. So that's how I can tame the tongue, if I get my heart right. And you can only do that as you ask God, where did that thought come from? Where did that word come from? What just came out of my mouth? To listen to what comes out of your mouth and correct it immediately. So here's some facts about blessings. Blessings are a supernatural power to be released. And if I speak curses, that's also a supernatural power that's being released. Blessings are something that we have to train ourselves to do. There's a test, and I don't have the overhead with me, but there's a scientist, I don't know who he was, but he had this experiment where he took drops of water. And in one drop of water, one glass of water, he said, "Oh, you are so tasty, you're so good, you quenched my throat of thirst, you're wonderful," and spoke positive words. And then the next glass of water, he spoke curses, "You're nasty, you're foul, you're defiled, you're stagnant, blah, blah." And then he took one of the drops of the water from the water that had been blessed and put it under a microscope. And it was this beautiful crystal. And the word, he took another drop and he put it under the drop that had, the water had been cursed. He put it under a microscope and it was all mangled and ugly. He took one and put it under the influence of melodious music. Wasn't even Christian music, and it was a beautiful crystal. He put another one under the influence of rock music, took a drop of that, and it was all mangled and distorted. And the point I'm trying to make, if our bodies are 70% water, we can change a molecule of water. If you can change the molecule of a water by the words you speak, well, and we're 70 or 80% water, we can be changed. He also took another experiment. He had two things of cooked rice, two jars of cooked rice. One jar of rice, he put it on the same shelf, same temperature, in the same cabinet. And one jar of rice, he blessed. You're delicious, you're tasty, you're wonderful. And the other jar of rice, you're nasty, you're foul, whatever. And at the end of so many days, I forgot how many days, the rice that was blessed was beautiful and tasty, and the other rice was black and moldy. And so we need to speak over little children. You can watch little children, and you start speaking positive words over them, and it's just like they just light up. And so we need to change our vocabulary. I remember once I was in a line at a restaurant, and this little boy was behind me, and a cute little boy, and I said, "Oh, what a precious little boy." The daddy said, "Yeah, but he's a little devil." Guess what? He became a little devil. You hear parents say, "Well, they won't eat spinach. They won't eat this." Well, they won't if you say that. Just say, "Eat it." And you know, my son that died, his favorite vegetable was spinach. He would eat spinach before he'd eat anything. But I never gave him a choice. I just cooked good food and they liked it. In fact, when Holly was just, my youngest granddaughter was real little, that she come over and I had one of these, like a blender. And so when I fried chicken and or fried steak and put mashed potatoes and vegetables and all kind of good stuff in it, and I blend it up, and she'd been used to eating baby food. So when I fed her, she went, And the next day, Gretchen said, and of course, Gretchen cooks good too, but I'm saying just because she'd eaten the blended baby food, Gretchen popped open a jar of baby food, she went, rah! And she threw it. Anyway, we need to speak life. Blessings are not silent or quiet. They're not quiet prayers. I bless by faith. It takes faith to say what God says instead of what you're seeing. When we bless, we're standing on earth as an intercessor, declaring on earth as it is in heaven. We bless by using scripture to say what God says. And when God has our mouth, he has us, right? The Bible says the tongue is a rudder, and he likens it to a rudder on a ship, and he's likening us to be a ship. And so if our rudder is going the wrong direction, so is the course of our life. So if we change the rudder on the ship, it goes the direction that we want it to go. It says in James that if we can control the tongue, we can control our whole body. It says that in James 3, 1 or 2. And so when we bless, we're prophetically speaking over our life and the lives of others. Blessing is more than saying, "God bless you." A blessing is not flattery, just flatter someone. The Bible says that when you flatter somebody, you're laying a net for their feet. But, and I'll give you an example. I went to a meeting once, and it was a retreat that my husband held, and this girl sang, and it was the worst song I've ever heard in my life. And afterwards, some of her friends ran up and said, "Oh, that was just wonderful. That was just a wonderful song." And I thought, I'll never believe those people again, no matter what they say. But what I said to her, and it was true, you see, when you flatter somebody, that's laying a net for their feet. But what I said to her is, "I just really appreciate you being willing to sing." And what I could say was true. I did appreciate her willingness to sing, but it was not a good song. So don't flatter people. Through blessing, we can change our environment and repair and heal our lives and the lives of our family and children. Oh, I haven't figured out how to keep this iPad from jumping. Oh, well. When we bless, we inherit the same blessing that we extend to others. Invoking a blessing will cancel a curse. That's encouraging. Start blessing and it'll cancel the curse. And so, so there's consequences for our actions. Hebrews 2:2 says, and the New Living Translation says, For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. And so God, right now, when we have an act of disobedience, here comes the demons, because that gives ground to the demons. When we violate the word of God, it opens us up to demons. James 4:7 says, give yourself to God, number one. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are the snare of his soul. Is your soul snared by your words? Mine. And even the words of my forefathers and the words of your forefathers. Proverbs 12:6 says, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Proverbs 6:2, but if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, having been caught with the words of your mouth, it says, go to your neighbor and offer to him. Proverbs 10:12, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. That can be one of the roots to tongue problems, or having your tongue cut out. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise preserve them. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the foolish pours out evil things. So if I need to ponder, think about what I'm going to say before I say it, and if it's not right, ask God how it got there. Because things come in our lives, get planted through the words that are spoken over us, through the sins we commit, through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, the things we do. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. So how do I teach my mouth? I'm speaking negative things. How do I teach it? I find out how it got there. Repent, break generational curses or whatever. Confess my sin. God says if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The minute you sin, confess your sin. But if I don't deal with the heart issue, what's down here, I can't teach my mouth. Because it's a restless, my tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Proverbs 31 says, open your mouth for the dumb and for the right and for the rights of the unfortunate. Proverbs 31:9 says, open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. You know, our family can be afflicted and needy because of our words, because of us wounding them with words. Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Speaking of the godly woman in Proverbs 31, my son who died of AIDS told me a month before he died, he said, Mom, I've always felt like I was a girl. When he was 2 weeks old, his aunt said, he's just too pretty to be a little boy, and I wanted a little girl so bad. And I was bathing him one day, and I said, you'll just have to be my little girl. You see, I spoke those words over him. That's where that lie entered him. I planted that in his heart. James 3:2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body as well. Okay, if I don't stumble in what I say, that means I've got a pure heart, right? As long as the garbage is coming out of my mouth, my heart is not pure. But if I don't stumble in what I say, which I don't know of anybody that doesn't stumble in what they say, because I don't know of anybody that's got a complete pure heart till they get to heaven. Your heart will be pure when you enter eternity. It says, and the tongue is a very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as the one that defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, having been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, both blessings and cursing, my brethren, brothers and sisters, ought not be this way. And so if we don't like the course of our life, we need to change the rudder. And you can only do that. It's a process of where that come from. Lord, forgive me. Deal with it. And then your heart's more pure. And just keep on doing that till the thoughts and words are pure. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So what have we been sowing in our family? What have we been sowing in our marriage? What have we been sowing with our children? This is not to condemn everybody. We're all guilty. Every last one of us. So I need to sow with a view to righteousness and so that I'll reap in accordance with kindness. So when I sow a seed, I need to make sure that I'm going to reap kindness from that seed. And whoever I'm speaking over is going to benefit from that kindness. Ephesians 4:26 says, don't give the devil a foothold, which in other words, don't give him access in your life. John 10:10, the thief comes to kill and destroy, but God, Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So don't let the enemy steal the seed. We have authority, the Bible says, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us, because the name of Jesus, the scripture says, the name of Jesus is a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know, so many people think, well, they don't have the authority to use the name of Jesus. And of course, if you're in rebellion, you don't. But it's kind of like when you, well, let me explain it this way. If you're out on the freeway, if you're a man, an 18-wheeler is not going to stop unless you have a Arkansas Highway Patrolman uniform on. And the devil, he's not concerned about who's in the uniform, but when you're yielded to God, you're wearing all of God's whole armor, and when the devil sees you, he doesn't see you, he sees the authority of Jesus in you. And if you, a highway patrolman can go out and say, back up, move over, do this, and because he's got authority, and that's what we have authority in the name of Jesus when we're yielded to the potter. This thing keeps saying low battery, but anyway, we're going to keep going. Jesus didn't need all this technology. One of these days, I won't need it either. And so we have power. Okay. Some examples of things that have been spoken over you. You can't do anything right. You're no good. You're sick. You'll never amount to anything. Nobody will ever want you. Nobody will ever love you. Why don't you go kill yourself? I hate you. I wish you'd never been born. Everything you eat, this is one my mother used to say to me, everything you eat turns to fat. Well, it did. You're a loser. You have no willpower. You're ugly. You're just like your daddy, your mother, your grandmother. My mother used to tell me that me and my daddy were just like Grandmother Reddick. You're going to break your neck. I was riding with my daddy once, and he would just jump to conclusions that I was, you know, being dangerous, which I really wasn't. He said, Jerry, you're going to kill yourself. And within a week, I was driving to Lake Hamilton, and I fell asleep at the wheel, and I was driving 70 miles an hour in the grass on I-30. And you see, he spoke a curse on me. He wasn't trying to, but he, just like us, he didn't know about it. You're going to break your neck. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to catch a death of cold. I'm going to die. That drives me crazy. That drives you up the wall. I can't see. We own our sickness. We say, this is my diabetes, my heart trouble, my blood pressure, my this, my that. I always do this. This always happens to me. Guess what? It always will. Because those things have been planted in you. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I've heard one person say, I'm just hanging on by thread. Well, guess what? You're hanging on by thread.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. There's a scripture about that too. It says when you say, I'm just kidding, you're really not. It's coming out of your heart. She's always saying, just kidding. Lorna is my cousin. We grew up together as kids. We were together, I mean, every summer. She spent every summer with me. She was an only child, and my mother didn't care. My mother was glad she was there because it entertained me and my sister. And We were disconnected for 40 years, and she moved to East Texas last year. And I prayed, I said, now, Lord, don't let her move to East Texas if I can't help her. I don't want to waste my time. Anyway, guess what? I wasn't kidding. I really prayed that. But anyway, I found out that God sent her to East Texas for her to help me. She drives me everywhere and has got the greatest attitude. I mean, was that the Lord just providing for me? Anyway, she's been a great blessing. I laugh at her all the time. Some things I shouldn't laugh at, but I do. Anyway, I love her so much. She's so much fun. And anyway, we're both getting delivered. We're helping each other. In fact, when she moved to East Texas, she was walking with a cane. Never believed that she would be walking without a cane. Has lost 40 pounds. It's amazing what God's done in her life. Yes. Yay, God. That's right. My diabetes, my eye problem, my blindness. My mother used to say, I'm blind as a bat. That's what she said. Now, I'm saying these things. I've repented of these things that she said. Or she used to tell me, your eyes are bigger than your belly. That's something else I've repented of. You big old stand up in the road? I said one day, Mother, what's a big old stand up in the road? She said, I don't know, it's just something we used to always say. I said, yeah, I always said it to me. Stand up in the road. We had a grocery store, and I said, Mother, can I have that banana? Can I have that candy bar? She said, no, you can't have it. Oh, Mom, can I have it? I would wear her down because I was stronger than she was. And so then finally she'd say, oh, go ahead and eat it, you big old stand up in the road. It drives me crazy. It drives me up the wall. I was about to have a heart attack that scares me to death. I'll beat you to death. I'll beat you black and blue. Oh, dear Lord. I'm hanging on by a thread. I can't walk. I can't talk. They're addicted. They'll always be a druggie. They're lazy. No good. Can't keep a job. They're a thief. They're a liar. They sleep around. They're perverted. They're gay. I don't know where they ever get the word gay. There's nothing happy about it. It's pitiful. No one will ever want you. And you can just name some other things. And in a minute, when we're doing deliverance, we'll start naming the words that have been spoken, because words are arrows, too. And they wound. So when we speak these kind of words or they're spoken over us, we're declaring with our own mouths and planting curses in our lives and the lives of others. Some of the things that we should, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 16:2 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, enjoyable and helpful. 1 Peter 3:9, don't repay evil for evil. Don't return insult for insult. Pay them back instead with blessing, and he will bless you. And I want to say this too. You know, when we bless people, don't bless them, like, for example, you're trying to bless those that curse you. Don't bless them with victory or success. Bless them with Christian character. Bless them with honesty and truthfulness. Seek blessings, because when you seek blessings, the grace of God is imparted to that person to carry out what you bless. And the opposite is true when you curse. So you get to be the prophet of your own future. We need to say some things that we need to speak over ourselves is that he who begun a good work in me will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. I'm confident of this very thing. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. All things were working together for your good because you love the Lord. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You will change from glory to glory and strength to strength. We have to get old, but we don't have to be weak and feeble. The more you repent, the more demons are going to leave you, and the healthier you're going to be. Through God you shall do valiantly, for it is he who treads down your foes. You're a child of the righteous, and you're blessed. Children of the righteous will be delivered. The children of the righteous are a blessing. You'll continue in God's word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In fact, we probably shouldn't even speak anything but the Word of God to our kids from the time they're little. You will always triumph in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you'll condemn. For this is the heritage of those that serve the Lord. You know, if you're like me, I've always had this thing about being sometimes too bold and too honest. I don't mean, for example, sometimes, how can I say this? I always wanted to be honest, and so it was hard for me to say what God's Word said. I always said what I saw, but that's not, and then I learned that there's a difference between fact and truth. The fact is this, 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 but the truth is what God's Word said. We can say, blessings come on me and overtake me. I have the mind of Christ. So when we start speaking by faith, things in our lives and the lives of others will turn around. Blessed with authority, blessed with scripture. And this scripture right here, if no other scripture I've shared, should be motivation enough to say God's word. Isaiah 58:8 says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far from anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth, to cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. Always. Amen. It will always accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. So it has to, according to God's word, if I'm planting the word of God in people's life, it has to produce. It can't not produce. It just honked out, but that's okay. So stand up. Please. Lord, in Jesus' name,
Lord Jesus,
I ask you to search my heart.
I ask
for the truth that sets me free.
I ask for the truth that sets me free.
Show me what I need to repent of, Lord.
Show me what I need to repent of, Lord.
What I need to repent to my children for, my mate, if I'm married. What I need to pull down, uproot, and pluck out of my life, the life of my loved ones. And show me how to plant and rebuild. Remind me, Lord, that every time a negative word comes out of my mouth, to show me what I need to repent of and how it got there. And Lord, I'll obey you. Show me how to purify my heart so my tongue will be pure and my thoughts will be pure in the name of Jesus. Show me every negative thing that's been spoken over me, that I spoke over my children, that's been spoken over me by my parents and forefathers. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, I make a request. I want the truth that sets me free. And just repent of whatever the Lord shows you and then sit down and then we'll be through. Father, forgive me for speaking death with my mouth. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for cursing my children, for cursing my mate, cursing myself, cursing my circumstances. Lord, forgive me for not pondering how to answer. Forgive me for many words, and it's caused transgression to be unavoidable. Give me the tongue of a disciple, Lord, that I might sustain the weary one with the word. Forgive me for not guarding my mouth and my lips to preserve my soul from trouble. Lord, I forgive every person, mother and father, and all the people that have spoke negatively over me. I cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse assignment, that's been spoken over me, that's been planted in my spiritual garden. I pull down, uproot, and pluck them out in Jesus' name. Lord, I pull down, uproot, and pluck out all the negative words I've spoken over my children, over my mate, over my circumstances. And Lord, I ask you from this day forward to show me how to plant and rebuild in the name of Jesus. Thank you that your word does not return void. Thank you that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, your ways are higher than our ways, and thank you that your word will always accomplish the matter for which you send it, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father, and I ask you to forgive me for speaking the same words over my family. And I want you to start naming things out that has been spoken over you. Because if it applies to you, it may apply to someone else. And then we're going to break these things. You're ugly. You're stupid. I break the power of the words that were spoken. I'm ugly. I'll never amount to anything. No one will ever love me. I'll never find a mate. I'll never find a husband. I'll always fail. I'm no good. I'm just kidding. What else? I'll have the same sicknesses and illness that
my mother
had, in the name of Jesus.
Can't sing.
Okay, what else?
You look just like your sister, but you sure don't act like her.
You look just like your sister, but you don't act like her. What did you just say? You're lazy, good for nothing. Mother used to call me an old, she'd say, Jerry, she let me stay out half the night. I wasn't really doing anything bad, but anyway, it let me sleep till noon. And instead of saying, get up and clean your room, she'd be picking up my shoes and throwing them in the closet, saying, she wouldn't holler, silly as the home greener. she's lazy, good for nothing. That's what she'd say. And so when that happens, you can't be lazy, so you take diet pills so you have a lot of energy, right? In the name of Jesus. Lord, what else?
You always or you're never.
Yeah,
it's like you always do it this way, as if in a negative way. You never get this done. You never do it.
Right.
The time I hit Brent was when he used an always or a negative, and I knew that at least one time I had gotten it right. And then I just shocked him.
It is. Okay.
Jerry, I used to eat candy when I was little, and my mother would say, you're not going to have a tooth in your head by the time you're 39.
Embrace that.
I would say, yes, I will too.
Yes. And she was smart enough to say, yes, I will too, because she canceled the curse. When somebody puts a curse on you, say, I break that in the name of Jesus. I don't receive that. Because if you don't break it, it's going to stand.
Right.
Okay, what else?
Use organized.
You what?
Use organized.
Disorganized.
You'll never finish college.
Never finish college.
You're
going to
be late.
You're going to be late for your own wedding.
What else?
You're a royal pain in the butt.
We were praying for, I was at a seminar with Carla years ago in Omaha, and Carla brought this friend. And this friend, she said, I've got a pain in my butt. And I said, did anybody ever tell you a pain in the butt? And she said, yes, my whole life. I said, well, we pulled out that arrow in Jesus' name. She said, well, it's gone. Okay, what else?
Oh, my aching back. Your brother can behave.
Why
can't you?
Your brother can behave. Why can't you?
I love you to death.
I love you to death. You're the bad one. She's the good one. You'll never amount to anything. You'll always fail. You can't learn. You're stupid. You've got learning disabilities. We break the power of those words. All the words we've spoken, we break in Jesus' name. Okay, what else?
You can tell that you belong to that family.
You can tell that you belong to that family. You're just like your grandpa, you're just like your grandma, you're just like your brother, your sister, your mother, your daddy. What else? Yeah, put you in your mom together and not make a hole. We break the power.
You scary cat.
You scary cat. Afraid of your shadow.
Tattletale.
You won't eat spinach, you won't eat this, you won't eat that. You're a picky eater.
You're a manipulator.
A manipulator.
You always get what you want.
You're a micromanager.
Professional liar.
You're only in it for the attention.
If what Lola wants, Lola gets. Yeah. What else?
You
don't
know,
what? Okay, we break it in Jesus' name. What else?
You're the good one, everybody else should be like you.
What else?
Well, the, like her perfectionist thing, if people up these days say, oh, you're OCD, or oh, you're ADHD, or
yeah. Right. You're mentally ill, you're crazy, you're a nutcase, that drives me up the wall. What else?
You belong in the nut house?
Belong in the nut house that almost had a heart attack?
You're
killing me.
You talk too much.
Talk too much. You're scaring me to death. Did that come from Cindy? You talk too much.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's why you're real quiet, right? She's the quietest person I've ever been around. The Lord would release her mouth to speak. Okay. What else?
How about all the you're too loud, you're too fast.
You're too loud, you're too fast, you're too short, you're too tall, your hair's the wrong color, your eyes are the wrong color.
You're too skinny.
You're too skinny.
You rude.
You what?
Rude.
You rude, you're melancholy, you're depressed, you're discouraged.
You're not a good mom.
You're not a good mom.
You're no fun to be around.
You're no fun to be around. You're mean.
No.
Criticized. What else?
So sensitive.
So sensitive. Touchy.
You're unworthy.
You're unworthy. Yeah,
you never get anything right.
Yeah, you never get anything right. You know, can I tell you we are unworthy? But Christ lives in us, right? And He's worthy. He's the King of Kings. He lives in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, based on nothing that you did. In Jesus' name. Okay, what else? What?
You wear your heart on your sleeve.
You wear your heart on your sleeve. You're suicidal. You're jealous. You're what?
You must be from the shallow end of the gene pool.
You're brainless, mindless,
or they never passed out brains. You didn't get one.
You're absent-minded. You can't remember anything.
Heavenly-minded. You're no earthly good.
You're so heavenly-minded. You're no earthly good.
You're a
backseat driver. Everything you do, you go to extreme.
Why are you so naive? I am not in my
head.
I'm what?
Spoken over herself, she was
bad in math.
Bad in math. Can't learn. Okay, what else?
Four eyes.
Four eyes? Okay. Can't wait for losing. How about I'm so broke I can't pay attention? Or the further I go, the behinder I get. What else?
If I didn't have my head screwed on, I'd leave it behind.
If I didn't have my head screwed on, I'd leave it behind. What else?
If it was a snake, it would have bit me.
I'm tired.
I'm wore out.
Why can't you get it in here?
She's speaking up now.
My grandma used to always tell me to be quiet. I would be in the mirror with my brush singing, and she would always tell me to shut up.
Uh-huh.
That I was singing too loud, and one day I just stuttered when I was trying to get there. I was singing in front of this big crowd of people. Everybody was cheering and clapping, and when they got to the high notes, I just couldn't do it. And then one day, I realized that it's because I asked God, I said, God, why is it that I freeze up when I get ready to hit the higher note? It's because your grandma used to tell you to shut up when you were hitting the high note.
That's right.
So once I realized that and I counseled it, I was able to do that.
You know, my little granddaughter, Holly, I hope I didn't share this with y'all, but I used to go to Wyoming, and I'd take them on a fun trip while their mom and dad went to a wedding or something, and so we were Well, did I share this for the first time? We were in Wyoming, Montana. And so I was driving back to Wyoming. And I told the girls, I said, I think we're only 50 miles out of the way because there's no street signs or nothing in Wyoming. And so anyway, we pulled into this little town and I said, that's how far are we from Wyoming? And she said, oh, about 5 hours. I said, oh, dear God, help me, Jesus. And Kylie started laughing, and Holly started crying. I said, oh, shut up, Holly. We said shut up all the time when I was a kid, but I didn't know it, but my grandkids were not allowed to say shut up. And so she went home, and she said, Mommy and Daddy, they cried on the curse. Finally, what did she say? She said, shut up. I didn't know that till Holly was 25 years old. She said, I cursed. And that hurt my feelings because I was trying really hard to be a good grandmother. Okay, so what else?
The power of what said but what's left unsaid.
That's right. Okay, what else?
I'm so far behind, I think I'm ahead.
I'm so far behind, I think I'm ahead.
You're a doormat.
You're a doormat.
You have two left feet.
Okay, Lord, we forgive every person that has spoken these words over us. Forgive us for speaking these words over our children in the name of Jesus. We pull down, uproot, and pluck these things out in the name of Jesus. We break the judgments we made on our children, on our mates, on our family, on ourselves. We break the judgments we made against our parents in the name of Jesus. We break soul ties with every person who's cursed us and every person we've cursed. In the name of Jesus, we call back our soul and spirit from them, clean, sanctified, and made whole by the blood of Jesus. Send back their souls and spirits to them. Exchange your image for the image of Christ in the name of Jesus. Now we command every demon to leave us now in Jesus' name. All defilement that's come in to speak in death, all spirits of death, we pull out all of those spoken word curses off of each life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to straighten up everything that's crooked in our life and the lives of our children in the name of Jesus and in our families in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. We break the power of fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress. We take each person out of the prisons they've been put in by the words they spoke. We take our children out of the prisons we put them in the name of Jesus. We just break the power of our words. We break the power of words of death, words of iniquity, curses and assignments that's been spoken over us. Lord, I take them out of the spiritual prisons they've been put in, that they put others in Jesus' name. You believe now all anger, bitterness, resentment, hurt, woundedness has to go. Depression, despair, hopelessness, unloving spirit, self-rejection, self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. I command self-rejection out, all spirits of rejection. We command the root of rejection to leave now in the name of Jesus. We break your power over every life in the name of Jesus. We break the power of every spirit that would keep these precious ladies from seeing who they are in Christ. We release the spirit of adoption over each life in Jesus' name. We cancel every word that we've spoken, every word of death, word of iniquity, curse assignment. Lord, in the days ahead, we ask you to show us how to pull down, uproot, and pluck out these things and how to plant and rebuild in Jesus' name. We praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for freedom. Thank you for deliverance. We command the demons carrying out these curses against us to leave now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and blow out. In Jesus' name, we break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus. Every demon that came in through any word they've heard, in the name of Jesus, has to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Lord, help us to listen to what comes out of our mouth and what we think, God. Cause us to pay attention to it in the name of Jesus. All bitterness has to go. All unforgiveness, all torture, torment, sickness, distress, disease, come out now in the name of Jesus. We break your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, come out of every life in Jesus' name. We break your power in Jesus' name. You have to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace. From suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, Jesus, and self-control. Now I want you to repeat after me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ.
He strengthens me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am God's workmanship.
I am God's workmanship.
When I'm weak,
When I'm weak,
I'm strong.
I'm strong.
His strength is made perfect in my weakness.
His strength is made perfect in my weakness.
I'm more than a conqueror for him who loves me.
Through God I shall do valiantly.
For it's He who treads down my foes.
Everything.
To work for my good. Because I love the Lord. And I'm being conformed into His image. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that I can run upon a truth. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. Thank you, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you that I overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of my testimony, and I love not my life even to death. In Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me in paths of peace for His righteousness' sake. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord, that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. So I abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that your word, you sent your word to heal us. You pardon our iniquities and heal all of our diseases. You redeem our soul from the pit. You crown our life with loving kindness and truth. You renew our youth as that of the eagle. Thank you and bless you, Lord, that you have ordered my steps, that your plans and purposes cannot be thwarted, that you know the plans you have for me. Say it. They're good for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'll be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I'll make my request be known to you, God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask you to bless the food, purify it, and sanctify it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.